You don't need to be married. You don't need to be in relationship to be completely whole and to be an incredible human. Even the Bible talks about this. Paul talks about this. Being single does allow you the opportunities that being in a relationship doesn't. Welcome, you wonderful, purposeful, and beautiful humans to Hope Still Wins. I'm your host, Ben Higgins, and today I have a co-host, my fiance, Jess.
Hey, I'm so excited to be here.
In this series, Jess and I will be sitting down with some of our favorite couples to unpack what hope looks like in each season of the relationship journey.
Guests are going to share their personal stories, marital advice for Ben and I, and for you, of course.
It's going to be a celebration for all, no matter what love looks like in this season for you. In this episode, Jess and I are going to give a little backstory to how we met, what our individual seasons of singleness looked like. We'll dish out our best advice and answer a handful of questions you, yes you, submitted.
We're going to try and make it awesome. Let's jump into it. On this special episode of Hope Still Wins and Relationships, here's Ben and I talking about singleness.
Hey, today it's just Jess and I. It's not just Jess and I. This is a big deal to sit down with you and chat about something that we care deeply about. It's today's episode on Hope Still Wins in Relationships. Obviously, we're going to talk about singleness.
Okay.
I know for you, hon, you have a lot to learn about singleness right now.
I have a lot to learn?
You're a big matchmaker.
Oh, yes. Okay. I love to matchmake. I have one and... We'll call it two success stories. One marriage, one dating. The dating is very indirect, but I got one of my friends to join a gym, and that's where he met his girlfriend. So I feel like that worked.
You can't take credit for that.
I totally can.
this is a topic that means a lot to me, because when I wrote Alone in Plain Sight, my hope with that book was to find the ways in life I feel like we're pushing people aside. Mm-hmm. And I think especially within the church, we've really pushed people to be in relationship.
Yeah.
It wasn't uncommon for me to show up to my local church, and I think with great intentions, but for people to say, Ben, who are you dating? Why aren't you dating? Back when I was single. And it oftentimes made me feel like I had something wrong with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think... as believers, we've kind of done singleness a disservice, because we, in the Bible and even like most sermons about singleness, talk about waiting for the right person or approaching marriage in a good way. And we never talk about being content in singleness, and that it's okay if you want to be single forever. It's okay if you never find somebody. Like, we had an interview earlier this week, and they were talking about how, you know, Jesus was single. Like, there's so much you can do when you are single and your purpose in life is still there. And I don't know. It's a tough subject.
Well, it is, but it's also one that's I think freeing, because here's the way we're going to break this one up. And I was able to talk to a lot of singles when I was writing the book. And so I do feel like the perspective there oftentimes when I spoke to them was that they do feel like they have something wrong with them. There's really what I see is two types of people. People that are single and looking, single and wanting to find a partner. They're hoping to find a partner. And then the other side of that is single and not really wanting to find a partner at all. It doesn't intrigue them. It doesn't feel like it fits their life. It feels like it restricts them in a way. And both are equally amazing.
Yep.
There's no downside here. And so that's how I want to start. Let's start with single and not wanting to find a partner. My opinion on this is just as Jess said, we have a lot of incredible people in this world who have lived life single. I mean, I am so thankful for my relationship with Jessica. I always knew that I wanted to be with somebody. I knew I'd be a better man if I was with somebody. I didn't necessarily know who I'd be with if I didn't have that commitment to somebody. But I also look back on those single days and the freedoms and the opportunities that it brought me.
He's locked down.
Locked down. Well, and there was an exciting time because, yeah, I could follow my hobbies without ever having to check in with anybody.
Now I make him text me every 5 minutes, tell me where he's at, who he's talking to, who he saw. very rigorous schedule he has.
Yeah, very restricted. Actually, not at all. And it was something that was important to me when we started dating was, you know, I've lived a lot of my life single. I've dated, I've been in relationships, but, you know, I'm 32 years old and getting married. That's not young. It's not old to get married, but it's not young either. I've lived a lot of my life single and being able to just go about life in a free way. And one of the things that I wanted to find when we were dating was somebody that I knew I had a responsibility to this human, to you. I knew that I needed to care for you, to be around, to make sure that you knew that you were a priority in my life. But I also, very early on, made it clear that, like, I have things that I want to do with my friends. Mm-hmm. I have things that I'm going to have to do for work where, like, you're not going to be able to come around.
Sometimes I think he's lying. He just doesn't want to invite me.
That's not true at all.
I'm kidding.
But it was important to me that I felt like, hey, I had my own individualness as well. I knew that was something that was going to be hard for me to just completely rip away. I like to golf. And I like to get out on the golf course. I like to just, like, disconnect from the world. And I wanted to have a partner that, like, didn't make me feel guilty for that, as long as I kept it in a responsible way. I wonder for you, hun, was there ever a season of life for you that you thought, hey, singleness is what I'm going to be?
I honestly was kind of always single. I never really had, like, a very serious relationship, but I constantly went on dates. So I kind of came, like, I was going on, like, 3 or 4 dates a week. And I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying that, like, I never said no to a date. And I probably should have said no to first dates, but I never did. But it was a joke because everyone called me a one-date wonder. I never gave second dates because I don't know why. I was waiting for you, babe. But I think as I was dating, I would come home sometimes and I would be like, I am going to be going on dinner dates for the rest of my life. And, like, it's fine. Like, I'm not lonely, but, like, I'd like to have that one person. And especially growing up in the South, like, ring before spring, you know, like, that's a thing. You graduate college and you get married. And so I was out of college 2 years and going on all these first dates. And I was like, oh no.
Well, and I think that's a good note is, you know, I met you when you were young. You still are young, but you were 24, 23 when we met.
Oh gosh. I think we are. I was 23.
And so, you know, there's not a massive age gap. There's 6 years, which over time, you know, plays out fine. But even at 23 years old, you felt a pressure to find somebody. Why was that?
You know, it's really interesting. And now that I don't live in the South anymore, I see it more because in Colorado, people get married in their 30s. In Tennessee, people get married when they are 21 and, like, have kids when they're 23. And, like, that's the life trajectory. And I saw that happen. Like, I saw people I went to high school with get engaged in college and all of those things. And that's, like, normal. So especially growing up in the conservative South in a church, forever, like, I was never not around the church. And so, like I said, there were always all of these sermons about singleness that are saying, like, just wait until you get married or wait until this. And so it was always, like, this thing, like, this unattainable thing, it felt like, of, I have to get to that in order to be complete. Like, I need this to be complete. And even in college, like, I switched my major and I was like, I mean, I'm not really going to need a job because I'll just get married, you know, and have babies. And then I graduated and I was like, actually, I think I want a career. And that was, like, so weird to some of my friends and to my parents for a second. And then they were over it. But I don't know. I think it's a cultural thing to some level.
I think it's interesting because in the Midwest, it's very similar.
Yeah.
And yes, for the start of this, we're focusing on those who aren't interested in being in a relationship. And the truth of it is, my heart has really opened up over the last year and a half to the people out there who are saying, hey, like, I'm good being single. I want people to understand the positives of that. I want people to know that, yes, there are incredible people that have been single. That's great. I believe that the value in each human is that incredible that you don't need to be married. You don't need to be in relationship to be completely whole and to be an incredible human. And honestly, even the Bible talks about this. Paul talks about this. Being single does allow you the opportunities that being in a relationship doesn't. And there's positives of being in a relationship. Trust me, that is the choice that you and I are making. But I really want to change the narrative for those out there who are just saying, like, I'm not interested in it.
Well, and you used an interesting word in that it's a choice. We are choosing, you and I, to be in a relationship forever. And we're going to have to keep making that choice forever. And it's not going to be an easy choice, you know, forever. So people that are making the decision, you know, I don't want to be single, like, I don't want to be in a relationship. That's amazing. Like, enjoy that single season and use it to its full potential, because you have the opportunity to go and to travel and to really impact so many people and to have these incredible friendships and to have these relationships that a lot of us won't be able to have. So I think it's awesome. And I would love to change the conversation around it for sure, especially in the church. Like you said, you know, incredible people are single forever. And it's not a bad thing.
You know, the one note here, and I want to hear what you think about this. If you're somebody out there right now who's listening, again, you are single by almost by choice. You're saying, I'm not interested in it. My life doesn't align with it. It doesn't make sense. Do you think it's okay, though, to shut out the option completely? Like, do you think it's good just to say, no, this is going to be the way I live life? Or would you say to anybody, like, hey, keep your options open, at least keep an open heart?
I would say keep an open heart. I mean, you never know what's going to happen. Like, you hear about these people that meet the love of their life when they're like in their 50s, and you don't want to miss out on that either. You know, you can accomplish something in both seasons. So, but at the same time, like, you don't want to be in a relationship. It's on the other end. If you're in a relationship with somebody and you have these blinders on because you're so afraid of being single, and you end up getting into like a terrible marriage or a terrible life with this person, but at least you're not single. You know, that's probably what you're telling yourself. That's not any better than choosing to just be single. Does that make sense?
It does. And in fact, in the book, and I am going to reference it for many reasons. One, I want people to go buy Alone in Plain Sight. Two,
shameless plug.
The chapter, I titled it Single Not Sad. And I titled that specifically to say that because there's a lot of people out there who are single, but they're not sad. And in a second, we'll talk about those people who are single and looking. And at times, sadness does come on, and I get that. But I do want to read a little excerpt from the book here. And it says this. It starts with, "We may not carry these exact images of what it means to be single. But in my experience, no matter what gender we are speaking of, many people act like singleness is a disease that need to be cured. When someone discovers you are single, it's not that they look down on you. They just feel sorry for you. An attitude of, oh, you poor thing, comes across in both their looks and words. That stands in sharp contrast to the words of Apostle Paul, who I just mentioned a second ago, who wrote, I wish everyone were single, just as I am. Yet each person has a special gift from God, of one kind or another. And I finish with this. I think this is one of the most radical verses in the Bible I've ever read. According to Paul, singleness is to be celebrated, not pitied. He presents it as a higher calling. And yet the reaction to singleness, especially in the church, is the opposite of his words. As I learned after my big breakup, everyone seems to think singles are broken. Tanya puts it like this. I'm single, not sad.
Well, that pretty much sums it up. Hits the nail on the head.
It does. So I want to give encouragement to everybody out there who is single and they're not sad to lift themselves up, to be maybe a voice for those other singles out there and just say, hey, it's okay.
And push back on your friends that try and matchmake you. Tell them that you're pretty happy, because otherwise it's just disappointing.
You've had friends do that to you.
I have, actually. You know, they've said, I'm not interested, or I just need a break. Or, please stop.
You just care. You love love, hon. And that's okay.
I love love.
Okay. So let's transition then to those who are single and looking. And then we have a couple listener questions that have been written in here, and I want to kind of throw them at you, and I'll answer them the best I can as well. Hon, how do you remain patient while being single? The question then ends with, I don't want to settle.
Just keep meeting people. I mean, you've got to put yourself out there. I think we live in this world now where everything's virtual, which is great, because that means you can sit at home and still put yourself out there. So I would say, you know, look and don't be afraid to meet people. And I mean, I've never really said this, but Ben saw the photo that he made him decide to message me when I was on a date with somebody else. So you've got to like go on dates. You don't know what's going to happen when you're on a date with someone. That person might not be your person, but do it.
Take a couple pictures, post them.
Yeah, why not? Someone tag your location, ladies. Someone might be on their explore page and be like, I'm right next to that bar and that girl's cute, and wander into the bar and come and talk to you. You just never know.
So it leads us to this question that was written in as well. How should I put myself out there to meet someone?
Go about your normal life with your eyes up. Don't be waiting in the grocery store on your phone in line. You know, look around you. When you're walking through the mall, have your head up. When you're out at a bar, don't be focused on like the photo or the Instagram story. Like, be sitting there looking around and being aware of your surroundings, and just do things you enjoy. Because if you're on your path and you're doing what you love, then someone's going to end up coming up right next to you doing what you love too. And that's your person.
And remember, this is for people that are single and looking. Because if you're looking, then you're keeping your options open. In fact, Tanya Rad, who I interviewed for the book, said this. She said, just don't stop dating. Like, that was her advice. Like, put yourself out there. Go on good dates. Go on bad dates. Go on dates that you learn something from. Because over time, you're going to figure out what it is you're looking for, what it is you're most attracted to. It seems scary. I wasn't a fan of dating. I got very anxious for dates. I got very nervous for dates. I couldn't get them out of my head. I felt like I had to be something on these dates. So dates were exhausting to me. And so the idea of never stop dating seems like a really big ask.
Yeah.
But you did date a lot. You went on a lot of first dates, and it felt like you had fun with it. How did you have fun with it?
I mean, every first date is an opportunity to learn something about somebody, get a story. Like, lots of my life experiences from going on these dates, and I have hilarious stories from them that my friends still make fun of me for, my mom still brings up. And then I have some of these amazing stories where I met people that I'm like, oh my gosh, you are just an incredible person. You have an incredible story, and the way you live your life is something so admirable. And even on some of those dates, I would come home and be like, well, there's something wrong with me, but that person just wasn't for me. But you got to go into it with an open heart. You got to go into it with like a lighthearted spirit, and don't put so much pressure on it either. A first date doesn't mean that you're getting married. A first date is just, it's getting to know someone. I think that you learn more from what you don't like than from what you like. And going on those dates, you can figure out, you know, let's say you go on three dates with someone, you cut it off. What was it about that person that made you cut it off? Because you're going to like write it down, and you'll find someone with that quality. That makes sense.
This week's episode of Hope Still Wins is brought to you by Generous International. Generous International is a company that I co-founded. Generous donates 100% of profits to nonprofits fighting human-facing injustice. So every bag of coffee bought, every cup of coffee drank is going back to make the world a better place. Generous is best known for selling coffee, specialty grade coffee. So it's some of the best coffee in the world. You're going to drink coffee anyways, and like we like to say, why not make it life-changing coffee? Well, you can visit Generous at generouscoffee.com. Please go out today and check out Generous Coffee. So it takes us down a dangerous path here, because I could see people, you know, we have friends who are 30s and 40s who are looking and haven't found somebody. These dates have, they've gone on a ton of dates. They've gone poorly and they've gotten down. They're sad. And we have beautiful friends, like incredible catches. Like people I would set, if I had any siblings, set up my siblings within a second on both sides, girls and boys. And so when I think of somebody that's in a rut, like when I think of somebody that's feeling like they're pushed aside or feeling like there's something wrong with them, my truth to them is, well, you're not alone, mm-hmm. is one. One is my first thing that I'd always tell anybody in any situation is you're not alone in this. And obviously we're speaking from a place where, you know, I was 30, when I obviously met you, you were young. And so it's a different for us to speak on this, but we have friends here who are deeply, deeply in a place of wondering what in the world's wrong with them. And I just say, one, you're not alone. Two, there's nothing wrong with you. There's things that you have to sift through when it comes to where you're going to meet people, what you're looking for in somebody. What are your expectations? You know, like, you've known this after dating me. You had huge expectations for a partner, and I hope that I've fulfilled a lot of those. But there's also things within that that, you know, I've disappointed you on. If you would have held me to a perfect standard over, you know, the 3 years we've been together, there's going to be things that I've fallen short on. And if those were deal breakers for you, if you didn't try to understand my heart, understand my intentions, understand that I wanted what's best for you and for me in our relationship, you could have ran pretty quickly and ended this thing. But no, we stayed curious about each other. And so the next point I would have is, if you're like, stay curious. I believe that every breakdown is a moment for a breakthrough. I believe there's lessons learned within those moments of deepest pain and sorrow. And I believe that there's something inside of you that's learning something incredible that can share with others, that can be a resource for others. I believe you are strong. I believe you are courageous. I believe this is not the end of your story, but I do believe this, that there's people out there right now that are hearing this, that are in this place, and there's people they know that need them as well, that need them to be that resource to say, hey, we're in this together. We're both looking, we're both trying. And I think that's a good addition to the keep looking. Don't give up, but also understand that the life that you're living, every breath that you have is important. And so don't just keep waiting for this partner to come into your life, for life to start. Yeah. Life has already began for you. It's happening right now as we speak. There's things that you need to do in this world. There's people that you need to affect in this world that are going to happen when you're single. And so go after those things. Take advantage of this season, knowing and staying open to the idea that somebody might come in the future. That's just an encouragement mostly, like a push just to say, hey, like, you're okay. And I know this, I can speak confidently this because I have friends who are single and looking who are okay. Like, they are incredible humans who are sad right now, who are hurting right now, who are wondering what's wrong with them. And I see it from my perspective, and my perspective is one that knows them and cares for them and loves them. And I'm looking at them saying, no, you're good. Like, I know you're good. You're making an impact in my life and the lives of others.
Yeah, you actually made me think of something, because whenever I would get down when I was going on those dates and I was like, something's wrong with me, because the people I was going on dates with, they were perfect and on paper. But when I met you, like what you said, those things that I had those expectations of, because I did, I had crazy expectations, but there were things that normally would have made me run, that when Ben did them or when he said certain things, they didn't make me run, because like Ben as a person was who I needed, like the whole part of Ben. So when I say like write down things that you might not like about someone or something like that, that might not have been the best advice. I'm taking back my words, because like it's not about these like little things about somebody, it's about the person as a whole. Because if I had been nitpicky, I mean, and if you had been nitpicky, we wouldn't be together.
No, I believe that, because you can find a problem with everybody.
Exactly.
You can find an issue with every person. You know, one of the advices and the threads that has happened through this relationship series, and the reason that Jessica and I chose to do the singleness episode on our own, is because we do have a lot of desire to speak into this from a place that's different, but it's a choice we've made to be together, as we said. But one of the threads that's continued to come up is when you find your partner and you trust that partner, and there's a vulnerability built into that, and there's walls that have broken down now, and you know who that human is, and you know that human cares about you, you have to assume, you have to start at some point in that relationship to assume that they have your best intentions in mind,
right?
That they don't want to hurt you. Now, if you're in a relationship where somebody seems to want to hurt you, and there's red flags coming up, then I'm not saying to continue in that relationship, but I'm saying when you find that person and they love you and they care for you, and yes, they're not perfect, assume over time, if that is your right person, that they do want what's best for you. Because if I every day woke up and said, you know what, Jessica's out to get me today. She's out to hurt me. She's out to say something that's frustrating me. She just wants to pick at me all day. I could easily create that narrative in my head and probably live it out daily. Mm-hmm. You know, I could. But instead, if I sit here and say, I believe Jessica loves me, I believe she wants what's best for me, and when she does hurt me, I want to bring that up to her because I believe she doesn't want to do that, that changes everything. And I know you and I have both worked through that in our relationship, is that communication is forcing ourselves to open up when things aren't going or being seen according to how we expected it. Mm-hmm. It's important. All right, final question here on singleness and waiting is, and this is one maybe for a lot of you listeners just to contemplate on. I don't know how well we're going to be able to answer this, but it's a great question that I want people to contemplate on is, how do you not feel behind when all of your friends are getting married and you are single?
This one hits close to home because we're in that season of life right now where everyone's getting married. My whole friend group is getting married or engaged, and then there are people who are single. And you're not behind. In fact, you're right on schedule, but it's just your schedule. So you can't compare yourself to these other people. I had a friend one time when I was dating Ben, and things were getting hard because things were public and I wasn't seeing Ben, and we were doing long distance. And she had done long distance with her now husband. And I called her and I was like weeping on the phone. I'm very dramatic. And she told me, she was like, okay, I get it. I know it's hard, but would you trade any of it for someone different than Ben? Like, if you didn't have Ben, you wouldn't have all these other things either. So like, you're gonna, like, you have to choose. And it's like, I couldn't imagine life without Ben. Like, he's the person. So if you're feeling behind, you're gonna meet that right person at the right time, and you wouldn't trade any bit of this behindness in air quotes for that person, because it's going to be amazing and you're going to have this relationship that those friends that got married when they were young are going to wish they had, or they're going to miss out, or you're going to, you know, it's, everyone has their time. So you're right on schedule. You're not behind.
I think that's a great answer. Is your schedule might look different, but if you hadn't moved to Denver, and say you're back in the South, and single, you would have felt like something, you're so far behind.
Yeah.
And then you get out to Denver and you realize there's amazing people in their 30s and 40s who are single and still looking, and they're incredible humans. And yes, it's not been easy, and maybe they're still looking and they're wanting. But there's a huge group of those people. Like, that's maybe at times even feels like the majority of people, that it, you know, for you at 26, like, you're young to be getting married.
Oh, people are like, you're a baby. And I'm like, I'm middle-aged in the South. Like, I'm so confused.
It's different. And so just know that, yes, your perspective right now might be that you're behind.
Yeah.
But when you see, you know, it in maybe a different context, your schedule's right on schedule no matter what age you are. And I think that's great. Well, final question. And I think I'll be able to answer this one the best just because of my life experience, and kind of like you said, you hadn't had a lot of like serious relationships.
Okay.
Yeah. the question was this, and I think it's an important one to touch on because I think it holds a lot of people back. How do you get over someone you've dated for years and care deeply about?
And yeah, you can probably answer
that. Yeah, I was going to say. You want to?
I'm going to tap out of that.
You know, it's a great question because if we're honest, every relationship takes a piece of us and has a piece of us. And there's really deep feelings often involved in breakups, because some breakups are done when two people have a lot of respect for each other and care about each other and probably love each other, but they're just not the right person for each other. And so those feel hard because oftentimes we only remember either the really good things, or we only remember the really bad things, depending on how that breakup goes and how it like kind of comes to a head. And so you kind of like in your head, at least for me over the years, maybe a year after, months after, whatever, you just start to reminisce and you start to remember just those like highs and lows. Mm. And you start to see that relationship in that perspective. And I went to counseling after a breakup, and I went to counseling because there was just a lot of pain that I was feeling and confusion. I knew it was the right thing to end that relationship. I knew that we both had far greater things planned for us outside of that relationship. But I was holding on to so much. And one of the things that through counseling I learned was, what if I started to take those things that I was processing and learning from them, trying to become a better man from them, maybe even digging into some honesty within myself of things I failed on or ways that I didn't do well at, so that I would be a better partner for my future partner. And then the question, hey. And then the question you have to ask yourself is, why couldn't I have been a better person in that relationship? And I think the answer there was, well, they weren't right for you, right? You make me a better man, Jessica. You support me in my weaknesses. You lift me up in my weaknesses, and you support me in my strengths, and you make sure that I know what my strengths are, right? That's not that's not like common in every relationship. And sometimes when those relationships end, you need to recognize those things within yourself and then say, I just need to selfishly find a partner that matches those things, right? And then years later, right, you look back on those relationships. And I mean, I have had some serious relationships in my life. And every one of those relationships, I care deeply about that person. I have a lot of respect for that person now because I've ripped away at the pain and the hurt and the hate, right? And I see them thriving in their new relationships. Or maybe if they're single still, I see them thriving in their singleness and becoming a better human because of that. And I see me now as a very peace-filled, joy-filled man. But to answer that question, the truth of it is it takes work and it takes time. And it also took me meeting you. Like it took me meeting you to see what it was that I needed, what I was that I was missing, what it was that I couldn't like process and conceptualize and say out loud on things that I was like feeling until I met you and said, no, now this all makes sense. Aww. Is that sweet? Was that, I didn't mean for that to be sweet.
I know, but that was really sweet.
Well, it's true. And so I hope that makes sense to everybody. Is if you're out there and you're like, I just can't get over this person. We dated for years. I feel like they know me better than anybody else. I feel like they've cared for me better than anybody else. We have memories together. We have trips together, all these things. Hey, I get it. It's hard. And it's okay to like feel deeply about that person. It is. But at some point in that, you have to then take that step forward to stand up out of that chair, to stand up off that couch, keep your head held high, to keep your eyes up, like you said, and say, I'm going to step forward into life believing that the things that I've taken with me from this breakup and this past relationship will allow me to be a better partner in the future.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really important thing. That's an exciting thing for me. That's a challenge that I put on people, is to say, I challenge you to do some introspection, to find out the things that you were bad at, the things that the ways that you manipulated, the things that you lied about, the things that you maybe tried to force to happen in order to keep that relationship alive or to keep you having leverage in that relationship. And then know that those things aren't going to fly when a healthy relationship comes through.
Someone say hallelujah.
Oh, jeez. And so, yeah, to get over it, I'd say it takes work. It takes processing. And I would also say it also takes finding that good match. Yep. We have a great story of a friend of ours. Who I love dearly, who went through a really hard divorce at a young age, and it hurt and it was painful and it felt like the world was falling down around all of us because we didn't know what to do. We were celebrating this relationship for a long time and then it kind of went south fast. And we sat so many nights processing it and contemplating it and crying over it. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he meets this incredible human.
Yeah.
Who steps up and says, I want to love you through all of these things. I want to sit with you through all these things. I want to hear about your past relationship so I know and understand you more. I want to know where you come from because I know who you are to me now. And I have the confidence in our relationship to get to know every piece of you, including your pains, including your hurts, including the things that might feel uncomfortable to talk about, because I want to be the best partner for you possible. And today they are thriving in their relationship. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that happens. I don't think he's able to take that step forward unless he finds that partner for him that fills that gap. Now they're getting married and they're happy and we see it. And now, you know what? We can get into, is divorce good or bad in that situation? I don't even think that's the part of the topic. I think the topic is this, is that was a painful thing that hurt deeply. It was hard to move on. And it took finding that next person over many months. There was many months in between. For him to realize that, no, like I am meant for this person. This person is going to make me greater and they're meant for somebody else. And now they're both happy and in love and moving on and life looks good. And it's a hope-filled story, I hope, for so many to know that, yes, it might hurt for a while. There might be pain. There might be tears. I'd recommend you listening to Amos Lee's song, Learned a Lot. It's my breakup song. I recommend you
not listen to that song anymore.
You cry, you get mad, you tell your friends, you vent, and then you start to heal and you start to find respect for that person again and care for that person if it was a healthy breakup. Now, again, a caveat there. Unhealthy breakups, when there's red flags and there's manipulation, abuse, and all those things, I know there's a lot of pain involved there. And I want to make sure that people know that, you know, there's other resources and there's healing that needs to be done in that. And there's a lot of work that needs to be done there. But if it's a healthy breakup where two people just decide that, hey, we're not meant for each other, then I say, hey, you're not alone in your pain. there's some processing needs to be done, but there's also a really hope-filled future. And there's somebody who's possibly going to come into your life, especially if you're looking, that's going to make you go, oh, it's all good. It's all gravy. It's all gravy.
It's a good word, babe.
Well, hey, that's this episode on singleness. This is Hopes the Wins in Relationships. It's really great to talk to you all. I want to reiterate to you that if you're single and you're not looking, you are incredible. If you're single and you are looking, you haven't found somebody, you are spectacular. Those might just feel like really fluffy words for you, but I want you to sit on those for a bit and believe those. You're not alone in that. You're not alone in this season of life. There's many people like you, and there's many people feeling for you. There's people that need you in these seasons of life. There's friends of yours who are in relationships that need you to be readily available to them. And there's work needs to be done in yourself, maybe, just to enjoy life as a single human. Like, soak it in. Enjoy it.
Can I say one more thing before we close? Kind of like what I said about how you're right on your own schedule. If you had the same life as every single one of your friends or every single person you saw on Instagram, the world wouldn't have specifically you. And we need specifically you. Otherwise, the world would be so boring. And we need your story and we need your life. We need how you meet your person or how you don't meet your person or how you impact your married friends or all of it. So the comparison thing isn't going to get you anywhere. Follow your schedule. Be yourself. We love you.
I think what you're saying there too is there is teaching and learning to be done in each season of relationships. And we're going to learn that as we go about this relationship series. I'm excited for it. I know there's a lot for us to learn. A lot for us to grab onto, a lot for the listeners to grab onto. And so if you're single, I want to learn from you. If you're in a relationship, I want to learn from you. If you're looking, I want to learn from you. Well, hey, this has been great. And I want to end with this final question for Jessica. She doesn't get to answer it as much as I do.
Oh,
Jessica Clark, when we speak of singleness in relationship, when we speak of singleness and not looking, does hope still win? If so, why? And if not, why not?
Yes. Hope still wins as long as you are hopeful. I think that's it. Hope wins if you're hopeful. But if you don't want to have that hope, if you're not even looking for hope, then it's not there. It doesn't win.
You're the best.
That's it.
I love you, hon. Hey, thanks for joining us. I appreciate you, hon.
Love you.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode of Hope Still Wins in Relationships.
We still have 4 episodes before the wedding, including one with our parents. So make sure you subscribe or follow the show wherever you listen to podcasts.
Like we've said before, our upcoming guests are ones you don't want to miss. Trust us.
Trust us. They've honestly been amazing. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see y'all next week.